It is with great excitement and thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we begin the brand new Masechta of Bava Metzia today. We start, of course, Beis Daf Beis at the very top with the brand new Mishnah. We continue to learn for the safety and the success of the Chayalim. For all of Klai Yisrael, there should be Shalom. The Chatufim should be returned b'mheira, safely and in good health. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring about Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mheira b'yameinu. Okay, we start off Beis Amud Aleph with the very top Mishnah, Shnayim Ochazin, the famous Perek Shnayim Ochazin, Shnayim Ochazin Metalis. You have two people that are holding on to a talis. As the Gemara will explain, a lot of the things in there, I'll fill in some of the Mishnah, we'll wait till we get to the Gemara. For most of them, you have one person holding one end of the talis, and one person holding the other end of the talis. Ze Omer, Ani Mitzasiyah. This one said, I found it. And this one says, Ze Omer, no, Ani Mitzasiyah, I was the one that found it. Zelmer Kulishli. This one says it's all mine. And this one says Zelmer Kulishli. We'll have to explain why we have two separate cases here. Is this really two separate cases or is it one big case? The Gemara will discuss this in today's shir. What's the halacha? Each of them claiming that it's theirs, so they have to make a shvua, our Mishnah tells us. Zei yishava she'en lo ba pochos michetzia. Zei yishava she'en lo ba pochos michetzia. Each of them has to make a shvua that they own at least 50% of it. That's the shvua they have to make. The Gemara will explain why they make such a shvua. And then viach loku, and then they split it. So either they, if it's something that can be cut in half, so then they could divide it in half. Let's say it's just a bolt of yarn. So then they just cut it in half if they wish to. Or they sell it, and then they split the proceeds from the item that they sold. The Rashi tells us over here, davka ochazin, both of them actually have to be holding on to it. The shteim muchzakim ba, they're both muchzak in it. The ein lazeh koach ba yoser mizeh, and neither one has a stronger grabbing onto it than the other one. If only one of them had it in his hand, so then the other one would have the status of having idach hamotzi mechavera olav araya. The other one would have to prove that it belongs to him for olav lohavi araya be'edim. He would have to bring witnesses to take it away from the other person. You can't take away something from somebody else unless you have edim, and you have to bring edim shehi shalom. The einu namon zeh li tol b'shua. And then in that situation, he wouldn't be entitled to get half of it if he made a shvua. Now, the Top Tosus points out, why is this Mishnah over here? Why is this Perek Shnayim Ochazin over here? So, Top Tosus tells us, Aidi the Ayri Behagozu Basra, as we learned in yesterday's share, the very last daf in Bava Kama, we talked there about the Machlokes of Nisores. We talked about the sawdust. Who gets the sawdust? Does it belong to the carpenter? Does it belong to the owner of the wood who gave it to the carpenter to make something to him? So, the Nagar and the Balabayas, who's entitled to get this sawdust? So there was a chalukah question over there. Who gets it? So as we brought down, so Harei Elu Shalo, under certain circumstances, it belongs to the carpenter when he's dealing with very fine sawdust in his own place, or b'kshil, but if he's dealing with a kardom, a large type of an axe, and the pieces that come off are in sawdust, they come off little pieces of wood, so then Harei Elu Shalabais, then it's the one who asked the carpenter to make the item for him who supplied the wood. So, since we were dealing with the chaluka issue at the end of yesterday's daf, so therefore, Tani Hachanami Dine Chaluka. So, we jump right into another question of chaluka. How do you divide things up? Shnayim Ochazim Metalis. I, the Afogad, the betrayed Mesechta, Ein Seder LeMishnah. As we had also learned in Baba Kama, whole discussion is Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, one Mesechta. Meseches Nezikin, or is it three separate Mesechtos? So this goes in accord. V'ikoman diomakula nizakin lav chad Mesechtahu. There is an opinion that says, no, it's three separate Mesechtos. It's not one big Mesechta called the first part, the second part, and the third part, the middle part, and the third part, the last part, and it's one Mesechta called Nezikin. No, it's three separate Mesechtos. There's Baba Kama, there's Baba Metzia, and Baba Basra. So according to that opinion, Hani Mili, in Machlokes, V'yachakach Stam, we only say that they're not considered the same Masechta when it comes to deal with this discussion that we had there on Daf Kuf Beis as to whether we can say if there's a Machlokes in Bava Metzia, does that reflect upon a Stam Mishnah in Bava Basra or a Stam Mishnah in Baba Kama? Because then we have a rule that when you have a Machlokes, V'yachakach Stam, so then we in fact say, if it's in the same Masechta, so then Rebbe put it there to teach us that we have a Machlok, because we pass it like the Stam. Lefisha Rebbe, Loya Lomake Seder, because Rebbe didn't necessarily learn when it was different Masechtas in any specific order. He would learn in the Inyanim. Elo Kamosha, you Chafetzim HaTalmidim, like the students wanted to learn. The students said, we like to learn Brachas, so we'll learn Brachas this year, this semester. So Abo Kishech Hibramun Rebbe put together all of the Mishnayis, so Allah say the Chirin, then he did put them together in order. And within the same Masechta, there is a rationale and a reason why Perek Aleph comes before Perek Beis, comes before Perek Gimel. Therefore, that's why our Perek of Shtayim Ochazin follows right after the discussion that we had about the splitting of the shavings and the little chips by the Baal HaBayis and the carpenter. Okay. In any event, we said over here that when each of them has an equal grabbing on a share, each of them is saying it belongs totally to me, so then we split it. With a Shvuah, we split it. Misha continues and says, Zelmer Kula Shli. Another case where this one says it's all mine, and this one says, Zelmer Chetzio Shli. It's only half mine. So, in other words, in regards to 50% of it, they all admit that it belongs to Reuven. And it's only in regard to the other 50% that there's a machlokas between Reuven and Shimon as to who owns it. So the first 50%, that's not involved in Machlokas, so Reuven gets all of it. The second 50% is exactly the same case, Rashi says, as the first part of the Mishnah, where they're going to have to split it, because they're each saying that they have an equal share in that second 50%. They're each holding on to it, and therefore, in this situation, the first person, Omer Kula Shali Yishava She'en Lo Ba Pachos Mishlosha Chalokim. The first person, Reuven, let's say, has to swear that he owns the 50% plus at least 50% of the other 50%. In other words, he has to swear that he owns 75% of the entire thing, three of the four Chalokim. And the one who admits that Reuven owns half of it, but he says, no, I own the other half, so he has to swear, the one who says 50% is all mine, so he has to swear, Yishava, that he has at least 50% of it. Yishava she'en lo bo pachos mi revia. He has to swear that he has at least 50% of this 50%, in other words, that he has 25% of the total thing, and then, in this situation, Zenotel Shlosha Chalokim, the first person, let's say Reuven, will get 3/4 of it, Zenotel Revia, and the other person will get 1/4 of it, as exactly the same rationale for the first part of the Mishnah. Tosos and Nira Maskos, Notel Revia, has an interesting question. He says, why don't believe the second person and give him the entire 50%? Because, Vim Tomar, Yehi Nemon, the Chetz of Shalom, because it should all be his, because Migu, he has a Migu, because if he wished to, he could have had a better lie. The boy, if he wanted to, Amar Kulishli, he could have said all of it's mine, and then he would make a Shvua, he would get half of it, and he would get the half that he says is his. So a little bit down in Tosis, he says the Rivam brings down the Migu Lihotzi, to say amigo, that he should now take money that he wouldn't be otherwise entitled to, Lo Amrinan. The Bechetz Hasheni, Muchzach Zeh Kimozeh. Only in the 50% that's remaining are they both considered Muchzach. Anyway, Tosis has a further discussion about this. We'll have a little bit more of a discussion on this on Daf Ches, but we'll leave this for now. Tomorrow we'll also discuss on Daf Hey, how come we make the first person make a Shvua on the 50% that everybody agrees is his? So the Gemara there will discuss that we are concerned that maybe he's swearing falsely, and this will make him swear on the entire thing, even though everybody admits, seemingly, that he owns 50% of it. Okay, Gemara continues the Mishnah. Hayushnayim roch v'nagah b'behemah. Two people are riding on an animal, or alternatively, Oshaya echad roche v'echad manhig. Or one is riding on the animal, and one is leading the animal. And the Chiddush over here is that both of them are considered owners of the animal. Both of them are considered shavim liknos behema min hefker. Either leading it or riding on it would make an adequate acquisition, a kinyan, from hefker. In any event, each is now claiming that this animal is his. Zelmer kula shli. The first one, Reuven, he says it's all mine. The second one, Shimon, Zelmer kula shli, says it's all mine. So, what's the halacha? They each have to swear, Zeh yishav ha'shein lo ba'a pachos mechetzio, Zeh yishav ha'shein lo ba'a pachos mechetzio. Each of them swears that they own at least 50% of it, and then the yachloku, and we split it up. The animal will either be sold, or they'll be shutvim in it. Finally, the Mishnah concludes, Bisman shehei modim, however, in a situation where they both agree about something, O sheish lameidim, or they're witnesses to identify definitively who's the owner, so then cholkim below shvua. Then they divide it up without having to make a shvua, and obviously this is pshita, and the Gemara will explain why the Mishnah has to tell us this. As Rashi explains, the Gemara mefarish that my ashmina, that should be instead of Baha'i, that some of the gears have my ashmina. What's this telling us? Tamagbi mitzil lechavero, kona chavero. That if you're lifting up something for your friend, but you're doing it on his behalf, so then you're konit. So that will be a whole discussion that the Mishnah is coming to teach us. Okay. Gemara starts off and says, Lomali lemisna, why do we need seemingly two cases at the very beginning of the Mishnah? Zelmer anima sasiyav, Zelmer anima sasiyav, the case where it says, I found it, and he says, no, I found it, and they're each claiming it's theirs. And then we have a second case, Zelmer kulashli, Zelmer kulashli. The other one says it's all mine, the other says it's all mine. List echad, why aren't you listing them as one case? Why are there two cases over here? So Gemara says, no, chad ketani, it really is one case. It isn't two cases. Zelmer anima sasiyav, V'kula shali. The first one is saying, I found it, and it's all mine. And the second one is saying the same exact argument. V'zaomer, ani mitzasiya, v'kula shali. And this one's saying, I found it, and it's all mine. So it's really only one case in the beginning of the Mishnah, not two. So Gemara says, why do you have to tell me both the components of mitzasiya and shali? Why don't you just say, v'lisne, ani mitzasiya, and the other one say, ani mitzasiya, and they'll split it. V'ano yadana, v'kula shali. Isn't it by definition? If he says, I found it, it means that it's all mine. Why do we have the words, anim tzasiya, and if you're telling me it's the same case, then he also has to say, kulishli. Someone says, no, here is a chiddush. Itana, if the Mishnah had only said, just anim tzasiya, so you know what I would have said? Hava anina, if you only had, I found it, and you didn't say, and it's also mine, it's all mine, so then what does mitzasiya mean? My mitzasiya, I would have said, when he found it, it means he saw it on the ground. Re'isiha, as Rashi says, Kodem shehigbata osa. Before he picked it up, he says, it's mine. Now, that's not a valid kinyan. So, afal gav delo asoy liyodei. But I might have thought that even though it didn't come into his hands, he saw it and says, oh, that mitzi on the floor, that $20 bill on the floor, that code on the floor, that's mine. So, I might have thought, biri'io ba'alma kani, that just by seeing something, that brings it into your possession when you state, that's mine. So therefore, the halacha is that's not true. Biriyah, you're not kona something. So therefore, Tana Kula Shali, to teach us the Biriyah lo kani. That's why it had to say, and Kula Shali means he made a kinyan in it, and therefore that's why he's claiming that it says not by just seeing it alone. Seeing it alone wouldn't be enough. Shmuel says, why not? Umi Matzis Amris, my mitzosiya risiya. Who says that it means over here, when he saw it, that it means that's how he acquired it. V'ho amar Rabbi Noi, that's the gears that we have. Some have the gears over here at Ravina. When the Pasuk says, umitzasa, so the Pasuk tells us that the asoy liyodei mashba, it means in the Torah, when it says that you found it, it means that it came into your possession. The asoy liyodei, it came into your hands. So why are we assuming that it means just that you saw it? So Rabbi says, yes, in that's true in the Torah, but not in the vernacular. Umitzasa dekra. When you have the word umitzasa in a pasuk, so that means to also liyodei mashma. That means that it did come into your hand. You're 100% right. However, in vernacular usage, umiyu, tano lishno di almanaka, in the Mishnayis, we often go with the vernacular usage of a term and not with the Torah usage of the word. And in the vernacular usage of the word, umidechazile, when a person sees it, omer ano ashkoches, I see it, I found it. Even though he didn't make a kinyan on it. And therefore, the apple got the lowest oil your day, even though it didn't come into his hands, I might have thought, biri'i or bi'alma, in fact, kani. I might have said, person thinks he can make a kinyan just by seeing and said, hey, that's mine. So therefore, the Mishnah had to tell us that's incorrect. That's not a kinyan with ri'iya. Tani kula shali. That's why he had to say that not only did I find it, but it's kula shali, meaning the biriya bi'ama lo kani la. It wasn't by seeing it that he made the kinyan. It's by grabbing it, by picking it up that he made the kinyan. Where it says, and just say, well, listen, kula shali. The whole boy, I need mitzasiya. So don't tell me anything about mitzasiya. If that is irrelevant, so then leave it out and just say, zel mer. Shali, kula shali, v'zeh omer, kula shali. And that would be it. Why do you have to tell me that ani mitzasiya? Someone says, that's also a chiddush. Because if you only had itani, kula shali, if we only had that, so you know what I would have said? Hava, I mean, I would have said, bi'alma diktani mitzasiya. I would have said, in fact, a person is kona something with mitzasiya. Biriya ba'alma kani. I, over here, tano ani mitzasiya, the harder Tana Kula Shali, to teach us that that's not true. The extra wordage over here, the Mimishni Yaseir, from the fact that it added on to Kula Shali, it also said Anim Tzasiya, Ashwin under Ria Lokani. That is where we know that Ria alone is not enough to acquire it. When you see it, you don't acquire it. Then when you grab it, that's when you acquire it. If we only said Kula Shali, I might not have known that. And I would have said Biri also, that's Kula Shali. So therefore, you need both words. The extra words come to teach us the din that Biriya, you don't acquire it. You have to actually be Ochez in it. You have to make a Kinyan in it in order to acquire it. The Gemara says, Umi Matzi Amris Chadoktani. Now, the way we've just understood is that the Mishnah in the Reisha is only talking about one case. Mitzosiya and Kula Shali is the same case. So then why not list them together? We listed it seemingly as two separate cases. Baha ze vizek ktani. First we said that the person says, oh, merani mitzosiya. And then the other one says, zeh merani mitzosiya. Seemingly, that's case one. And then it says, zeh mer kula shali. And then the other one says, zeh kula shali. That's seemingly case two. If you're telling me it's all one case, you know what it should have said? It should have said, Zeomer animus asiyah, Zeomer animus asiyah, Zeomer kulishli, kulishli. It should have said instead, no. That it should have said, if it was only one case, animus asiyah, v'kula shali. And the other one should have said, animus asiyah, v'kula shali. From the fact that it separated the lashonos, from the fact that it said, Zeomer animus asiyah, and then v'zeomer animus asiyah, and then it gives us a second case, Zeomer kula shali, v'zeomer kula shali, shows us that it's two cases. So why is it two cases? So Amar Rav Papa tells us, others say Vitema, it was Rav Shimi Bar Ashi. So whoever it was, either Rava or Rav Shimi, some pronounce it Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, the Amri Le, others say it was Kedi. Some Rashi elsewhere tells us the Kedi was either the name of a Talmud Chacham, or Kedi means that we don't have any naming of this Shita. It just was an unnamed Shita. There's no attribution given to the Shita, and therefore it's called Kedi. Although some say Rashi brings down elsewhere that there was a Talmud Chacham named Kedi. So either it was Rav Papa, or it was Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, or it was either a Talmud Chacham named Kedi or someone else. And says there's a reasoning for the two cases over here. The Reisha is Mitzia. That's in, they're arguing about something that they found. And the second time when it says Zeh Merkul Shli, Zeh Merkul Shli, that's the Seifa is B'mekach U'memkar. That's teaching us a din by Mekach U'memkar. Utrich, and we need both. We need the case by the Mitzia, and we need the case by Mekach U'memkar. And we turn to Beis Amud Beis, and because of the following. Because the Itana Mitzia, if you only told me the case of Mitzia, I wouldn't know by Mekach U'memkar. Why is that? I would have said, Havamina Mitzia, Hu Diramu Rabban and Shvualei. Only in the case of a Mitzia did the rabbis say that you have to go make a Shvuah. Why is that? Mishum demore, because the person is going to give himself a heta. He's going to instruct himself and say, Omar, Chavroi lav mide chasabar. In fact, really, Reuven got to it first. And Shimon says, ah, I just missed grabbing that. You know what? Why should Reuven get it? If I say I grabbed it first, I'm not really stealing from Reuven. Easy come, easy go. So we'll share it, 50% each. Just because I'm not there 2 seconds later than him, I should lose out on him. We both saw it at the same time, and he was faster than me. So why should he get it? He's not really losing anything by me lying and saying that I grabbed it first. And therefore, the person gives himself a head to me. The person gives himself a head there. Incorrectly, of course. But Omar, he says, Chavroi, lav midi chosava. He's not losing anything. He's just not gaining. Okay, this way we'll split it. Ezal itvis v'yisplolig ba'adei. And therefore, I'm saying I grabbed it at the same time. And I'll split it with him. Therefore, in this situation, the rabbi said, nah, yeah, you better make a shvuah. Because by a mitzvah, the person is more heter. So therefore, the ratio of the Mishnah, that's the rabbi said, you have to make a shvuah in the case of a mitzvah. But, avo by mekach u'memkar, you know what? The lekel u'memar hachi. Nobody's going to steal something from somebody else. We're not dealing here with ganavim. We're dealing here with a person, ah, it was a second late, so maybe he'll be more heter to himself. But if Reuven really purchased it, so Shimon's not going to grab it and say, I purchased it. Aim low. Maybe in this situation, when Shimon says, I grabbed it first, we shouldn't have to make him do a shvuah. This is a regular case of two people each claiming that it's theirs. And we're not dealing with a lawyer, presumptively. However, avo mekach u'memkar, deleka l'mei merhachi. But in regards to mekach u'memkar, where you can't say that. So aim low. In this situation, we have to be concerned. And therefore, that's why I have to tell us mekach u'memkar. No. Just tell us mekach u'memkar, v'itona mekach u'memkar, and don't tell me the case of the Mitzia. No, I would have said, who the Ram Rabban Shvuah? It's only in the case of mekach u'memkar would you say that there would need to be a Shvuah. Why? Mishum demore, because each of them is going to basically give themselves a heter. They're going to rationalize and say, v'yama, you know what? Chavra dome kayoiv. We each, as we'll see, the case is talking about, they each paid money to the person. And now the question is, which one did the person really sell it to? So each of them is going to rationalize and say, if I claim that I was really the one that bought it, he's not going to lose out. He'll get his money back. I gave money also. And therefore, hashda the tzricho ledidi, since I need this coat for myself, I need this garment, whatever it is, for myself, so eshkele ano, I will take it, but he's not losing out. The chavroi lezel litrach lisbon. All he's going to have to do, he'll get his money back. No, he'll have to go to another store and buy a coat. So all there is a little bit of trouble, and then he has to go to another store and go and find another coat. That's not a real loss. So the guy might be more heter to himself and lie. However, in regards to Mitzia, the lekalim in Mahachi, he can't say, well, he'll go to another street and he'll find another Mitzia. No, you just don't find Mitzias in the street. So therefore, maybe I might have thought in that situation where each of them is claiming that I found it, each of them is basically telling us the truth, that we wouldn't make them make a shvua. We wouldn't have to make a shvua, and therefore tzricha, that's why we actually do have two cases here, Rapapa tells us in the Reish of the Mishnah. And the first time it says, mitzvasiya, I found it, and the other one says, no, I found it. And in the second case, kula shali, that's talking about mekach u'memkar, and mitzvasiya is talking about where each one of them found it. Two cases, you need to have them both, and therefore it's not unnecessary or really only one case. It really is two cases. Now the Gemara says, what exactly is going on over here with the mekach u'memkar case? Why don't you just go and ask, v'lechze zuze miman nokat? Well, if Reuben is claiming I bought it, and Shimon's claiming I bought it, well, guess what? Go to Levi, the guy that sold it, and say, did you sell it to Reuben, or did you sell it to Shimon? So Gemara says, lo tzricha, you need the case in the Mishnah of mekach u'memkar, kula shali, because the noka mitavayu. In fact, Levi took money from both Reuven and from Shimon. Mechad midaitei u'michad bal korchei. One of them, he was really selling it to, and the other one just plopped the money down there and said, I'm taking it. So one of them really was sold to by Levi, but he doesn't know which one. At this point in time, v'lo yadana, mihu midaitei u'mihu bal korchei. He doesn't now know whether it was Reuven or Shimon that was the real purchaser, and the other one had put the money down and had grabbed the item. And since it's no longer in his possession, so he's not believed to say that it belongs to Reuven or it belongs to Shimon. And Rashi brings down, so this was asked, Nishala Samocha, we should go and ask the Mocha, Mimi Kibal Dome, Ditanya Bikidushin, we're learning more in Kidushin, Nemon Bal HaMekach Lomar Luze Mecharti, Velaze Lo Mecharti. They ended Gemara in Kidushin, which was one Masechta ago, it seems like it was a long time ago, but we just went through Baba Kama, Kidushin was right before that, 9 Gimels towards the end of Kidushin. So we learned over there that while the Baal Habayis, the one who's selling it, owns the property and has it in his hands, he's believed to say, I sold it to Reuven, or he's believed to say, I sold it to Shimon. Lezeh mocharti, lezeh lo mocharti. Va'afo gav dimisayim b'med var mevum shemecho biyodo. There was with the possession of the item was still in his hand. Avol ein mecho biyodo, but if he no longer has it in his hand, eino nemon, he's not believed to say. Why? Because once it leaves his hands, shalonos and leiv ledover, because we assume he doesn't really care anymore. It's out of his rishos, he got paid for it, and he doesn't necessarily remember who he sold it to. So we don't say in that situation he's believed. Mark continues and says, Lema masnis in the loki ben nanis. Let us now suggest that our Mishnah is not in accord with the opinion of ben nanis. What would the ben nanis say? Because the ben nanis, if it is ben nanis taught us, ha'amar, keitzad elu ve'elu boin l'day shua shav. Now, what are we talking about over here? So Rashi tells us, this is a Gemara in Masechta Shavuos, in regards to a chenvani and his ledger, al pinkoso. So, Eilu ve'elu boinle based in, what was the case there? You had a person asking the chenvani to go and pay his workers. So Reuven went to the chenvani and said, I have workers, please go and pay them. And he had an account with the chenvani. He said, just put it on my account. So he does this, and now the workers say, hey, we want to get paid. And the chenvani says, I paid you guys. And the workers say, no, you didn't. So therefore, the workers go and make a shvua, and they say, we didn't get paid, and they're entitled to get paid. And the chenvani makes a shvua, I never got the money from you, Reuven, and therefore, you owe me the money still. And therefore, Reuven has to pay twice. That's what Rashi tells us. Elubon the basin, each of them comes to the basin, amanas lishova. Echamem lishov, one of them is swearing falsely though, right? Either Reuven didn't give the money to the chenvani, or if he did, then the chenvani didn't give the money to the workers. So somebody here is lying. So therefore, the chachamim there say, no, he has to swear, the chenvani swears, and he'll collect again from Reuven, and the workers swear, and they'll collect again from Reuven, and Reuven have to pay twice, even though one of them is swearing falsely. And along comes Ben Nanis, the end of this Rashi, Amar Ben Nanis, keitzad elu ve'elu boim v'dei shvua shav. How could the rabbis be insisting that both of them make a shvua? They're going to cause somebody to make a shvua shav. What do you do? They both take it without a shvua, because they're each believed. The chenvani is believed to say, you told me to pay the workers, and I did. And the workers are believed to say, we didn't get paid. And therefore, the guy, Reuven, has to go pay the chenvani and the workers, but without a shvua. That's what Benanis says. So now back to our Gemara. Our Mishnah doesn't seem to be in accord with Benanis. Let me see the Lobakim Benanis, because the Benanis, if our Mishnah was in accord with Benanis, he had already said, you're forcing somebody to make a shvua shav over here. So too, like Benanis said it over there in the Gemara and Shavuos, you're causing somebody to make a full shvua in our Mishnah. So our Mishnah can't be like Benanis. Gemara says, no, it could be like Benanis. Afilu tema Benanis. Our Mishnah could, in fact, be in accord with Benanis. I have come over there in Shavuos, he said, no Shavua. And here, he says, you make a Shavua. Because Hasam vada iko Shavua Shav. Somebody's lying there. Either the Chenveni is lying, or the workers are lying. There is no two ways about it. And that's why Benanis says, listen, since each of them is going to be able to collect, better that they collect without a Shavua than have one of them swear falsely. But here, in our case, Hacha, it is possible, Ikala Meimar, the Lek or Shavua Shav. Who says that there's a Shavua Shav? Maybe they both pounced on the item simultaneously. Maybe both of them thought they bought it from the person who's selling it. And with the Tavayu, Bahadi Adon, the Agbahua. And they each picked up the Mitziah simultaneously, or they each grabbed it from the counter simultaneously. And they each put down the money, and now they're fighting as to who really bought it. So it's possible that nobody's going to be swearing falsely. And therefore, even Benanis, who's worried about a false shvua over there, would say, over here in our Mishnah, you can make a shvua. Similarly, the Gemara says, let us say, Lema Masnis and Deloki Sumchas. Let us say our Mishnah is not in accord with the opinion of Sumchas, which we also had in the Gemara in Bava Kama. Because the Ike Sumchas, if you say that our Mishnah is in accord with Sumchas, we got a problem. Because Sumchas holds, Omer, Maman Amutu Besafek, Chol Kibelo Shvua. Because Sumchas taught us in the Gemara in Bava Kama that if you have an ox that gored a pregnant ox, and now nobody saw this, there are no witnesses to see it, and now when you go to the pregnant ox, you see that the fetus inside the ox has been delivered and is dead. So the question is, did the goring of the ox cause the pregnant cow to miscarry, and therefore the goring ox's owner is going to be chayiv not only for the cow, the pregnant cow, but also for the fetus? Or do we say, no, the pregnant cow happened to have miscarried, and now the ox gored her, so the fetus has nothing to do with the goring cow, and the owner of the goring cow shouldn't have to pay for the fetus, he should only have to pay for the damage that was caused to the pregnant cow herself, because she miscarried before the goring occurred. And Sumcha said over there, this is Maman Al-Muta B'Safik, there are no witnesses, we have no way of independently verifying as to whether the pregnant cow gave birth first and then was gored, and she happened to have given birth to a dead baby cow, or whether she was gored, that caused a miscarry, and therefore the miscarried baby calf is due to the goring, and therefore the owner of the ox that gored should have to pay for both, the pregnant cow as well as the dead baby, the dead fetus calf. So Sumcha said over there, this is no way to know. It's Maman Al-Muta B'Safik. We don't know or not. So therefore, Chol Kimelo Shvua. So they split it, and they don't make a Shvua. Obviously, that sounds like it's the same as our Mishnah. So Sumchus would say in our Mishnah, you split it without making a Shvua. Somebody says, oh, wait a second then. If it's not Sumchus, then the only other opinion that we know from that Gemara is the Chachamim. So therefore, you're telling me that the Chachamim are the author of our Mishnah and not Sumchus. So wait, the Elamai Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan didn't say, split it with a Shvua. What did the Rabbanan say over there? Amre, in that case with the cow goring the pregnant cow, the rabbi said, Amre, Hamotzi Bichaber, all of Araya. They said, you, the owner of the pregnant cow, you want to say that your cow was gored while it was pregnant that caused it to miscarry? Bring proof. Otherwise, the money stays in the hand of the owner of the goring cow. Hamotzi Bichaber, you want to take money from him? All of Araya. You have to prove it. So, wait a second. If you're telling me it's not Sumchus, so then it would be the Chachamim, but our Mishnah didn't say Amotzi Bichaver all of Araya. So who's the author of our Mishnah? We only have those two opinions. It's only Sumchus and the Chachamim that argue with Sumchus. So when it says, hi, my, that's not a good argument. You know why? Because if you want to tell me that it's Sumchus, we have a problem still. But I could figure out how the Rabbanan could in fact be the authors of our Mishnah. Iyamis Bishlomo Rabbanan. If you want to say, yeah, the authorship of our Mishnah is in fact the sheet of the Chachamim that argue with Sumchus, I could work that out. Because in the case of Sumchus that we had with the goring cow goring the pregnant cow, Hasam Delo Tovse Tarvayu. Nobody has any tefisa over there. There's a dead baby calf there. And we don't know, was it miscarried before the goring, or did it miscarry because of the goring? And therefore, the Chacham say, Am Rabbanan, Hamotzi Bichaver, Ol Raya. Prove it. If you want to take money from him, you have to prove it. That's by the goring cow case. However, Hacha, in our case in the Mishnah, the Tarvayu Tosi, they are both Muchzokim. It isn't the Motzi Bichaver, Ol Raya. They are both Muchzokim. So guess what? The Chachamim would also say, Palgi Lo Bishvua. Go and split it. It's not Hamotzi Bichaver, Ol Raya. Both muhzakim. So therefore, that's why even the Chachamim of Sumchus would say in our Mishnah, they split it, but with the Shvua. But Sumchus is stuck no matter what. Elo Iyamris, it's Sumchus. So then you got a problem, like we pointed out before. Hashta, Uma Hasim, the Lo Topsi Tarvayu, Chokim Lo Shvua. In that case over there with the goring cow, Sumcha said, split it, and there's no Shvua over there. So here, Hacha, the Tarvayu Topsi, here, both of them are Tofes there. you could argue that the owner of the goring cow, he's the muhzak. And yet we over there say he has to split it with the other person. So here, certainly, where they're both muhzak, so certainly it doesn't fit in well with sumchas. Murray rejects that and says, no, no, you could still say that it's sumchas. Why? Because when did sumchas say over there in the goring cow, ki amar sumchas shema v'shema? The only reason why sumchas said over there, you go split it, is because nobody has a definitive raya. Bottom line is, the owner of the goring cow can't state, my cow didn't cause your cow to miscarry, it miscarried on its own. And the owner of the pregnant cow can't say that, Vadai, your cow gored it, and that's why my cow miscarried. Maybe the cow miscarried on its own. So it's a Shema versus a Shema. And therefore, in that situation, Sumchas holds that you split it, and no Shua is necessary. Avol, in our case, Reuven is saying, it's my garment. And Shimon is saying, it's my garment. They're both holding on to it. Avol, Bari, you Bari. Maybe even Sumchas wouldn't say you split it without a Shua. Lo Amar. Maybe Sumchas would say in this situation that you have to split it with a Shua. So the Gemara says, that works out great if you hold that Bari Bari, Sumchas doesn't hold that way. He only holds it by Shema or Shema that you split it without a Shua. But what about Ulu Rabba by Rav Huna? There is an opinion that says that Sumchas' din is even in the case of Bari Ubari. Ulu Rabba by Rav Huna, the Amar Sumchas Afilu Bari Ubari. Even in our case, in the Mishnah, which is a Bari versus a Bari, Sumchas would hold that in fact you split it without a Shua. My ikol lemeimar, it's still mamun hamutal besofek, so cholkin even without a shvua. So how would Rabba bar Rav Huna say that our Mishnah could hold like Sumchis? So the Gemara answers, no, even Rabba bar Rav Huna could say that Sumchis is the authorship of our Mishnah. Why is that? Afilu tamei Sumchis. Because when did Sumchis, according to Rabba bar Rav Huna, say even bari ubari that they're cholkin without a shvua? Ki amar Sumchis hecha diika durara demamona. Rashi explains over here in Diva Maskel Dror de Mamona, four lines at the bottom. He says that there's a chisaron mamon, that here there's going to be a loss of money. Shim yipara zeh shelo kedin have a chisaron mamon. If we were to force the goring cow's owner to pay the full price of the vlad, so then maybe we're right, maybe we're wrong. But in that situation, there would in fact be a miscarriage of justice, possibly. No pun on the word miscarriage. So there would be a miscarriage of justice. And if we did it the other way around and said, no, you don't have to pay, so then there could be a miscarriage of justice to the poor owner of the pregnant cow, when in fact the goring cow did cause a miscarriage. So when you're dealing with a drora de mamona, as Rashi understands it, there's going to be a financial loss one way or the other. So then he says, yachloku without a shvua. I will hecha deleka drora de mamona. In our Mishnah, we're talking about a metziah, so nobody's really losing money. They're not just making a windfall profit over here. And even in the case where they bought it from the owner, and they're now going to get their money back, so they're not losing money. Okay, they'll have the tircha, they have to go to a different store to buy a coat. But they're not losing money. So then, hecha deleka derava demona, even Sumcha says in the case of bari ubari, that in fact, you don't split it without a shvua. Gemara says, but wait a second, it should be a kavachomer. V'lav kavachomer who? Umahosum, in the case of the cow that's goring the pregnant cow, umahosum diika drora de mamona lamar, vika drora mamona lamar. When Sumchas paskin in that situation that you split the money, you are vadai causing somebody a loss. The money clearly should not be split. If we knew that the pregnant cow had been gored while it was still pregnant, so then the owner of the goring cow would have to pay the full amount of the fetus. And if, in fact, we knew that the pregnant cow had miscarried prior to being gored, then the owner of the goring cow would pay zero for the fetus. Now, he's paying 50%. He's either overpaying 50% or he's underpaying 50%. So we got a problem. And we turn to Gimel and Aleph. And furthermore, the Ikel Meimar, Kulamar, Vikel Meimar, Kulamar, and even if you want to say, Top Rashi adds, V'od Al-Karchach, we're forcing here, O kule demar, O kule demar. It really belongs to one or the other. Nevertheless, afilu hochi chokim lo shvua. Sumcha says that we split it without a shvua. Amar Sumcha's back to Gemara. Mamun amutu besofik chokim lo shvua. So Sumcha holds in that situation that we do split it without a shvua. So in our Mishnah, hocha, where we have the case of each of them grabbing onto it, the leka duar with the moment where there is no loss of money, and the Ikal and Meimar, the Tavayu, and in fact, it might really belong to both of them. Maybe they did grab it simultaneously. They purchased it simultaneously. So, lo kol shekein. So, certainly, Sumchus should have to say that it's without a Shvua. So, we're back to the original question. Our Mishnah doesn't go like Sumchus. But the Gemara responds and says, no. Afilu tema sumchis. You could still argue that the authorship of our Mishnah is consistent with the opinion of sumchis. Why? Because why do we make a shvua in our Mishnah? According to sumchis, shvua zu midirabanan. We'll have a shita tomorrow that says it's a shvua d'oraisa, but today we're saying it's a shvua midirabanan, like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Shvua zu midirabanan hi kidir Rabbi Yochanan. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan taught us. Why do we make a shvua in our Mishnah? Shvua zu takanas chachami. This was something that the rabbis instituted in order that there should be peace in the world, in order that people shouldn't be constantly grabbing other people's things and claiming that's mine. Because if you don't have to make a shvua, what stops Reuven from walking up to Shimon, who's carrying a jacket, grabbing the jacket, and saying, that's my jacket. Now, Chokin below shvua. So the world would be a crazy place to live. So along comes Rabbi Yochanan and said, the rabbis made a takana. Shvua zu takanas chachami. Shlo ye kol echad v'echad. So every Tom, Dick, and Harry doesn't walk up to somebody, holech v'tokek v'talis v'shchaver, and grab their garment. Talis doesn't hear, I always tell you, doesn't mean like a talis gadol like we have. It means talis is their garment. V'mishliyu, and say it's mine. So therefore, in order to prevent this, people, unfortunately, might be ganavim, but most people were terrified of swearing falsely. Chazal knew people's nature, and sometimes people are funny. Geneva, that doesn't bother, but to swear falsely, that I'm going to do. So therefore, the rabbis instituted a shul here, and this will prevent people from ganving, going and grabbing something from somebody else and claiming that it's theirs, which if you didn't have to make a shul, this could happen very often. So according to our understanding of Rabbi Yochanan, Sumcha says, technically, you don't need to make a shul. It's Maman Amutal B'Safik, and you shouldn't have to make a shul. Along comes Rabbi Yochanan. Chazal said, however, and Sumcha agrees, you have to make a shua, so to prevent people from just suddenly grabbing something else and claiming that it's theirs and be able to get it without a shua, the rabbi said, no, you're only getting it if you make a shua. Baruch Hashem, we finished the first daf in this beautiful new Masechta of Bava Metzia. Mitzvah Hashem will pick up over here in tomorrow's shir. Have a wonderful day.